Hello and welcome once again to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. This is a ministry that is made possible through the money that we earn while we wash cars. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business in Churchill. And that business exists for the sole reason of bringing forth these verse-by-verse Bible teaching messages. And we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching because we are very adamant about getting the entirety of God's Word into your ears. You can listen to these messages by going to our website, thewashandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to and download these messages for free. You can also, at that website, get all the information you need to know about the business and about this ministry. And we're going to just go ahead and continue in our verse-by-verse Bible teaching because that's what this airspace and time is for. Again, if you have questions about the business, go to washandword.com. We are currently in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. We are in the upper room experience of the Last Supper, and Jesus is telling his disciples to not be troubled, to trust in the Lord. The last couple of messages are really focused on Jesus just getting it driven home into our minds and into our hearts that he is here for us to get through whatever we're going to need to face today, tomorrow, and every day that you continue to live on this earth. Because of him coming and because of the Spirit staying, we are fully equipped to do the work of God that he has laid out since the foundations of the beginning of the time. You and I are here, and we are going to have troubles. Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but fear not, for I have overcome this world. So we have everything, and we were talking about how when he says he's going to build this place for us, and where he goes, we will also one day be with him. And you know, like I'm sure like me, at times you just get tired of running the race. You get tired of all the troubles and tribulations that we're going through, and you just want to be home. You want to be with him. But Jesus says, listen, for every day you wake up and you're still breathing, you have a plan, you have a will, you have a message, there is a path that Jesus has for you. And so we have to push forward, and we have to push on, and we have to seek wisdom through faith that we are going to get everything that we need to carry on in a world that is fallen and constantly coming against us. And when Peter says that he will not deny Jesus and he will stand with him because he's being, you know, Peter's earthly focused, not eternally focused, Jesus says, you're going to deny me. And then Thomas, who's trying to grasp what Jesus is saying, says to him, we looked at this in our last sermon in chapter 14. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? So, you know, we see Thomas, like Peter, being earthly focused and minded. And even Philip, while he may go a little bit farther seeking to understand in a spiritual and eternal sense, he still says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Which, while that's a decent statement, they have seen the Father, because Jesus has said countless times, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So all these men were so earthly focused that they missed the eternal things that Jesus was trying to say to them. And each one of those men, as we will see in future messages, failed at some point or another. So, you know, we see Philip fleeing at the garden, we see Peter denying, and we see Thomas doubting. And so Jesus responds to his disciples, and in their time of not understanding, Jesus answered, and we're going to pick it up here now in verse 9. Jesus answers, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? Let's stop right there. That's halfway through verse 10 in chapter 14. But the disciples, like you and me, I would assume, really, we don't have a whole lot of trouble with belief. Belief isn't a problem. It's understanding that they were struggling with. And likewise, sometimes for us, believing what Jesus said is not as hard as understanding what he is saying. Because sometimes we as people need to understand before we can believe or step out in faith. And it is at that crossroad of not understanding something and still moving forward that separates a mature Christian from an immature Christian. The mature Christian says, "Yes, Lord, I hear you. Yes, Lord, I believe you. Yes, Lord, I trust you. But Lord, I don't understand why you're telling me this or why you're sending me here. But you know what? Despite my feelings, I am still moving out because I hear you and I believe you and I trust you, even though I don't understand you." That is what a mature Christian says. That is a faith, friends, that trusts. You see, we have to exhibit faith before we can get understanding. Did you hear that? And this isn't an always postulate, because there are exceptions. But for the most part, God's word is set up that when we exhibit faith, we then get understanding. However, weak faith says, "Lord, I love you, I trust you, and I hear you and I believe you, but I do not understand what you are doing. Therefore, I shall sit and I shall wait, and I will do nothing until I do understand." And while the mindset behind that might not be completely, a mindset that is wrong. They may be trying to do it with proper motives. You know, maybe you're saying, "I'm going to wait here because I don't understand what God wants me to do, and I don't want to make a mistake by moving forward." Listen, friends, you'll never make a mistake if you move forward in faith. Even if you're going in the wrong direction, God has a way of steering that ship that is moving in faith, even if you don't understand where you're going. But to sit there and wait and demand understanding before you step out on faith, that is something God cannot bless. The moment you get to that fork in the road and one says, "Step out on faith, even though you don't understand," and the other says, "Go this way and just wait, God will reveal understanding to you and then you can move out on faith." The moment you take that fork, you just took the wrong fork. And at that moment, you just hindered the power of the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Did you hear that? The moment you take the fork or the path that says, "I'm going to wait till I understand before I move forward in faith," you just hindered the power of the Holy Spirit to move in your life. At that moment, you've just lost your edge. Listen, faith activates the Spirit's power. Faith activates the power of the Spirit in you. Jesus finishes his sentence, picking it back up in the middle of verse 10. Jesus says, "The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and that you may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it." Let's stop right there. Talk about understanding. Let's talk about the Trinity, because that is one of those things that you simply must take on faith. Our human mind is incapable of fully understanding the Trinity, how God can be the same in three different persons. And if you say that you understand, well, I assure you, you don't, because it isn't something we can fully grasp. It is something we fully take on in faith. I think the greatest understanding of the Trinity that I've ever heard described to me is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit is like water. You see, water is the same thing whether it's liquid or in a fog or a mist or it is ice. So water can be water, it can be fog, and it can be ice. It's still the same thing, but in three different matters, I guess you might say. We truly don't understand the Trinity. Or like one little girl in California once said after church, "Dad, I don't understand why the West Coast isn't included too." And the father said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, the pastor said it's Father, Son, and the whole East Coast." Well, that little girl didn't understand, and neither do we. There is a lot being said in these few verses that Jesus just spoke. Jesus and the Father are one. He also said that greater miracles will be done by us. And then the whole magical verse, which people have taken and run with, "If you ask anything in my name, it will be done." Name it and claim it. Galatians 5:6 says this, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, listen, is faith expressing itself through love." If you remember in a couple of messages ago, we talked about the new command Jesus was giving, a new love that was to be given, a love that takes into consideration the motivation for love that is contradictory to the motivation for love in the Old Testament. Now, what I said before, faith activates the Spirit's power. Now, I admit, I truly don't understand why Jesus kept saying, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." It's kind of a mystery to me. I mean, we all know that he was God in the flesh, but for some reason, Jesus wanted to keep his character and his works separated. Why? Well, this is the first real Trinity teaching that the disciples are receiving here. And the greater things we will do happen for one reason and one reason only. Because, Jesus says, he goes to the Father. You will be able to do greater things because I go to the Father. And unless Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. I can't express that enough. The Holy Spirit is the power. And the faith activates that power. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And the greater things that we are to do that Jesus said aren't necessarily physical. For what greater things can we do over the raising someone from the dead, but they are spiritual. For example, no one got saved at the telling of the prodigal son in Luke 15, but Billy Graham might have 3,000 people come to repentance over that. John the Baptist said, "Repent and be baptized," compared to Peter's 3,000 converts in one day by saying the same thing in the book of Acts. You see, the difference was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us gives us the ability to do the things greater than what Jesus even done. And Jesus never, I don't think there was never more than like 7,000 people that came to the Lord in all the stories Jesus told. But today, sometimes we may have hundreds of thousands come in one setting in certain countries. And that ability, that power to respond to that call and to the reality of reaching an entire world for Jesus, well, this can only be done by and through the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about another thing, and I'm just going to touch on it, but we're going to pick it up in our next teaching. And that is, stop praying your will and then stamping it with the name of Jesus, and then telling God that he has to do that thing. And you say, "What? What are you talking about?" Listen, don't act so innocent. There are too many people out there claiming God's name, putting Jesus' name on it, saying that it's my will, putting Jesus' name on it, and then demanding God does that thing. That is not what Jesus meant when he said, "If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it." What does Jesus mean when he says that? Well, you'll have to come back tomorrow and hear our next message as we talk about what Jesus is really saying when he says, "Ask for anything in my name and it will be given to you." Until then, let these messages, let the words of God's word penetrate your heart. And we pray and ask that you would come by the Washing Word, where we can wash up your car. This is how we earn money to support this ministry. And remember, if you have any questions, go go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. You have a blessed day.